Grace and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this letter to the people of Rome, the church in Rome, Paul asks a question. And he basically, he's going to ask a lot of questions. And he says, if God is on our side, or if God is for us, can anyone be against us? And pretty much every question in this little passage Paul asks is meant to be a rhetorical question. In other words, the answer is supposed to be obvious. And the answer in this case is no, nobody can be against us. But at the same time, the fact that Paul needs to ask the question means that there are people out there that need to be comforted. They need to be reassured that, in fact, God is on our side and nobody can stand against us. The question that has to be asked, since it has to be asked, it implies really that there are plenty of things out there that look very much like they are standing against us. In fact, Paul in this passage has kind of two lists of things that are arrayed against us in this world. The first one comes in verse 35, trouble, suffering, hard times, hunger, nakedness, danger, and death. All these things look like things that want to stand against the believer in Jesus Christ. And these things stand against us for one singular purpose, to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And in fact, Paul will say exactly that. Can anything separate us from the love of God? And then he gives us another list. There's life and death, there's angels, there's spirits, there's the present, there's the future, there's powers above and powers below, and there is all creation. All these things potentially will work against us in some way. That is to say, everything is there and possibly could work against you in some way to try and separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And as believers in Christ, we know this full well, that sometimes it feels hard to be a person of faith, to remain in the faith. But thankfully, Paul gives us this passage as an encouragement to remind us that, in fact, no, there is nothing that will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But we are people who need encouragement. And before Paul gets to these two lists of things that he mentions, he first uses language that is a language that you might find in a courtroom, whether it's a courtroom where you're standing before a judge or a courtroom where you're standing before a king. And in this courtroom, you and I stand there as the defendants. And nobody ever wants to be a defendant in a court of law, because it means that somehow, whether you're innocent or not, you've gotten yourself into trouble some way. And in this case, in this passage, and we see this, by the way, this language throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, you see it in the book of Job, you see it throughout the prophets, where sinners are standing before the throne of God, the God as judge, and we're standing there as defendants. And it's not a good position to be in. And in here, Paul mentions that there are charges, there's condemnations coming against believers in Christ, and we are standing before God as a defendant, and there is a prosecutor bringing charges against us. And the question is, this morning, that we have, is who or what is bringing these charges? Who or what is bringing these condemnations against us that we might feel sometimes like we're standing as defendants before the throne of God, before God the judge. And as far as I can see, there are you can kind of lump everything into three different categories. Or maybe that's not exactly true. I think there's three categories especially in which these are things, these are people who condemn us, who lay charges against us that we might feel like all of a sudden we're a defendant in a courtroom and God is the judge. Now, the first thing that would bring a charge, bring a condemnation against us, is God himself. It is God's law. As Lutherans, we believe that Scripture can be summed up into two categories, law and gospel. And in fact, every sermon that a Lutheran pastor gives should have both elements in there, law and gospel. We should talk about how the law of God, how God's own commandments, how they convict us and they condemn us and they show us that we are rotten, miserable sinners. And they should also show us to the gospel, what God in Jesus Christ has done for that. So God's own word, his law, condemns us. It is exhibit A, evidence number one, in the fact that we are sinners standing before God who is judge, and we are condemned by what God says about us himself. The law is like a mirror. It shows us how we have disobeyed the Lord. It stands number one as the accusation against us. It shows us our sin. And so if we're to ask these questions that Paul has for us today, well, what can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Well, the law shows us that we are already separated from God. The law brings charge, brings condemnation against us. The second thing that I think accuses us and brings accusation, brings charges, brings condemnations against us is something we maybe don't talk about too often, at least I don't, and maybe not enough in church, but it's Satan. It's the devil. Do you know that Satan wasn't originally meant to be the name for Satan? That the word Satan is actually a description of what this being does. Satan in Hebrew essentially means accuser, adversary. He's an adversary against God himself, and certainly an adversary, an accuser against you. I know throughout this series I've been talking a lot about the book of Job, but it just gives great illustrations. At the beginning of the book of Job, we see exactly how Satan plays this role out. Job is reckoned as a man who is righteous, who is blameless before God. He's a good person, as you can see in Scripture, a faithful person. And one day, Satan comes into the very throne room of God, and he starts accusing, and he starts being an adversary against Job. And Satan tells God, you know, of course this person believes in you. You've blessed him. You've given him everything he could possibly want. You've given him a big family. You've given him all sorts of property. You've given him good health and wealth. Take that away and see if this person, Job, doesn't start cursing you, doesn't lose faith. Satan, an accuser, an adversary, someone who stands against us and against God. Satan will use God's own words against us. See, the law stands against us. It accuses us. But Satan and the next person I'm going to talk about who brings charges and condemnations against us will use what God has already said, but they'll compile it upon us. This will make sense as I talk about the next person who brings charges and condemnations against us. This person is very vile and can be very deceptive too. Will compile shame, will compile guilt upon you. And it is you yourself. If you are anything like me, You often don't need to be told what your sins are. You already know. You already know that, yeah, I got angry at that time when I shouldn't have. Or I did this and I know I shouldn't have. You, for the most part, already know your own sins. You know how God's law condemns you. You know your shortcomings. But if you're like me, you don't go often to God's grace for those things. Instead, what you do is you compile upon yourself the shame and guilt that you already feel. And you keep compiling it upon yourself until it becomes despair and it becomes such a weight upon you that you just can't stand anymore. You become overwhelmed by the accusations and the crushing effect of God's law upon yourself, and you just keep bringing the shame and guilt down. You don't let yourself hear God's gospel. The reality is that the accusations that we hear against ourselves, and the law especially, that we might hear whispered by Satan and certainly in our own selves, our own voices, is that they're fairly truthful. We are sinners. We are guilty. We have cause to be full of shame. There is much out there that would take us from the love of God we find in Christ Jesus. But this passage from Romans is meant to be pure gospel for us. Paul asks, can anything separate us from the love of God? And I think he asks that because he knows every believer at some point is asking them that very same question. And his resounding answer is no. Nothing can separate you. Not the highest highs, not the lowest lows, not death, not life, not anything in all creation, no spiritual power, good or bad, can separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. The Apostles' Creed says that Christ ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And Paul takes that and he tells us exactly what Jesus is doing there. Paul says, Christ died and was raised to life, and now he is at God's right side speaking to him for us. We have not only Jesus who died for you, not only Jesus who was risen for you, we have a Jesus who was ascended for you, who took humanity up into heaven with him, sits at the throne of God right next to the Father, and he has the Father's ear. And he whispers into that ear, listen here, look, this sinner right here, I died for this sinner. I was raised for this sinner. This sinner is a person who has faith in me, and they're forgiven. I declare this person to be righteous on my account. I declare this person to be innocent because of my blood. This person is mine. Jesus has the Father's ear, and he is speaking nothing but good things about you to his Father because of his blood shed for you. Paul's point in this passage is that ultimately the accusations that come against us don't matter. All the trials, the tribulations, the things that come upon us, they ultimately don't matter because nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.